Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Erie Niagara School Superintendents Association's podcast, Achieving Joy and Mastery in Public Schools. I am your host, Brian Graham, superintendent of the Grand Island Central School District. We are really excited that you're listening today. This podcast is designed to celebrate all that is good in public education around Western New York. We will be featuring programs and innovative ideas that inspire and influence our students, faculty, staff, and community in new and exciting ways. So, everybody, let's get started. Today on the podcast, we are here with Mr. Scott Zipp, the superintendent of the Cheektowaga Central School District. Scott is in his second year as superintendent, and previous to this served as the assistant superintendent right here in the same district. Scott began his career as a biology teacher in 1998, right here at Cheektowaga Central. And fast forwarding to 2008-2009 school year, he was promoted to a teacher on special assignment. In 2009, he was named the assistant high school principal and held that post until 2014, where then he was named high school principal. In 2021, he was named the assistant superintendent right here in the district, kind of overseeing business, human resources, and he was also the chief information officer. Knowing Scott as during this time, as we've been superintendents together, it is clear that he is passionate about developing and enhancing a positive school culture, and the promotion of character education is very important to him and to this school district. He is visible, approachable, and available to community members. And outside of his work here at the district, he has served as the financial representative for the Boys and Girls Club while also helping to manage an excellent grant that they were awarded from the Ralph Wilson Foundation. Truly admirable. There are approximately 2,000 students here in the three schools across the district. Scott, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much, Dr. Graham. I appreciate it and appreciate you coming to host here at Cheektowaga Central School District to hear a little bit about what we're doing in the world of STEM.
Yeah, you know, I love STEM. I think I probably would have been in that field if I hadn't chosen education. It is so exciting what is happening in public schools related to technology and STEM education, engineering and mathematics and science and all the things that are so important for the future careers across the United States. And when you told me that you had a program here related to a course that's offered through rockets and drones, I got really excited. In Grand Island, we have an amazing technology department, and we have a teacher who has his pilot license and teaches a drone course as well, and I just think it's super smart and really relevant. So I am thrilled that that's the topic today. But before we get into that topic, I often ask superintendents, as you know, this podcast is called Achieving Joy and Mastery in Public Schools. And I'm wondering, Scott, what is bringing you joy as a superintendent this year?
There's a lot, but I think that answer is the same if you were to ask me while I was a teacher, a principal, assistant, any position I've held here in Cheektowaga. I've been blessed, by the way, and thankful. I've come through Cheektowaga my whole career. But in any position I've served, coach, teacher, AP, principal, assistant superintendent, superintendent, my goal is to provide opportunity. Whether I'm providing opportunity for students, staff, anyone that's a part of Cheektowaga Central, families, the community, that's really my ultimate goal, to provide and open doors and provide opportunities for people to find success,
right,
better themselves,
yeah,
so that they have more opportunities in the future. In this role, I'm blessed to I have the opportunity to provide opportunities for 300 staff members. So that's what brings me joy of being a superintendent.
Right.
As you know, there's good days and bad days, but yeah, at the end of every day, I can go home knowing I have someone like Stan Skotnicki that I can say, hey, this would be really good for Cheektowaga, and he's going to run with
right,
it.
Right.
Or I can go to a principal and say, this would be really good for your school, Karen, and she would run with it. So yeah, for me, knowing I can provide opportunity still in this position brings me the most joy.
Yeah, and I love that term, and I know all of the superintendents and educators that listen really appreciate opportunity and access to grow within those opportunities that are available, not only for our staff, but our students. And I think that fits very nicely into the work that you're doing in DEI across this district, is offering opportunities and access to help our students become the best versions of themselves.
Right. And ultimately, that's why we're here today. When I first saw this activity of the utilization of drones through BOCES, I remember being a student, and I took biology, earth science, chemistry, physics.
Right.
Nothing out of the ordinary was in the box. I don't even know that my school offered anything. And if they did, I didn't know about it.
Right.
So we may have had opportunity, but I didn't know about the opportunity.
Yeah.
When I was part of this opportunity, the little kid in me came out as a 40-something-year-old adult,
right,
smile from ear to ear, wondering how I can be a part of it, knowing that I can't teach it, but we have a principal
and a
teacher that would love to do it.
All right. So it's really exciting to see that we have some special guests around the table today. Karen Saganovich is here, and she is the principal of the high school. Karen, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Dr. Graham.
So, Karen, tell me a little bit about yourself. How long have you been the principal? You know, were you also an educator here in the district and have ascended to the principalship? Just to give a little background, because we have a lot of listeners who are interested in becoming administrators.
Sure. I have been in the district since 1996, so this is my 28th year. I was a science teacher teaching physics, and it was actually Mr. Zip who encouraged me to look into leadership, and so this is my third year being the high school principal.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So, obviously, science teacher.
Science teacher, yep.
High school
physics.
Or middle school or both? Well, you said physics.
Yep. Right. Well, I started with both middle school and high school, and then I quickly moved to just the high school.
Great. Did you absolutely love teaching physics?
I absolutely loved teaching physics. We had our numbers pretty high in physics. I also taught forensics, and that was a class that I thoroughly enjoyed
too,
as
right?
well.
Yep. We've also offered computer science, two years of computer science. That's brand new, starting this year, and then we're excited to continue it next year. So
this is our second year of having computer science as a second year course, coding as a first year course. Yep.
Super smart. My oldest son is a computer scientist. He works for a company in Rochester, but he gets to work from home, which he loves. And it's Mindex is the company he works for in Rochester. So there are a lot of opportunities, and I got to give a pitch to UB. I'm on their board for their National Institute for Artificial Intelligence and Exceptional Education, and UB is just going to be the university in this region that is going to have such great expertise in computer science and artificial intelligence. So there's a lot of exciting things happening, and it's great that Cheektowaga offers computer science and forensic and all these awesome courses that get kids excited about the future.
We'll reach out to UB. They're coming in doing a chemical engineering presentation for our AP Chem kids next week.
I love it. That's so great. So, same question that I asked Scott. You know, this is Achieving Joy and Mastery in Public Schools. What's bringing you joy as a principal this year?
Well, believe it or not, it was the same answer, but it's the products our students have been creating and the opportunities that we give them through all the different electives we offer, not just in science, but in our other subject areas as well, and the clubs that we offer. And in fact, we have a high school showcase tomorrow to show the community everything that we're offering.
So that's really great. So it's not necessarily for students, but it's students and the community that surrounds Cheektowaga Central.
Yes.
That sounds great. What a smart thing to do. Love that idea. I want to steal that idea. Honestly, I think that the community is the one that's helping to support the programs and to be able to show everybody in the community what their tax dollars go to is super smart. That's great. And maybe give a pitch again. When is that?
That is tomorrow,
oh, okay.
which is Thursday, May 2nd.
This won't be published a week later, but hopefully it'll be a fantastic event. Do they have to RSVP or they can just come in?
No, it's open to the community from 3 to 5. Yeah. And we not only invited our high school families, but our incoming 8th grade families so they can see what we offer.
Okay, so it is a combination.
Yeah, and then during the day we're having the 8th graders actually come through it so they know what they're coming into.
Excellent. So we have another special guest here today. Stan Skotnicki is here. He has an earth science background, works in the middle school and the high school, and is part of this year half-year course for rockets and drones.
Rocket drones.
Right. The rocket drones is the course. And Stan, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Dr. Graham. Glad to be here.
That's awesome. So, tell us a little bit about yourself. We were talking off mic about your engineering career prior to you pursuing a career in education. I think that's fascinating. I think there are probably many people that listen to this podcast who might want to make that switch. Maybe you can give a little background to that.
Sure. Thanks. Prior to being a teacher, I worked in the engineering firm. One particular was called Sihe Pumps. It's an industrial vacuum pump company. And I was mainly responsible for running their CAD department. And my first job actually there was teaching original hand drafters how to convert to CAD, which was fairly difficult at the time.
I was saying I took mechanical drawing in high school. Yep. So. You know, to make that switch was probably exciting, and maybe, you know, some people may have been a little anxious doing that.
Yeah, there was a little backlash, but, you know, overall they learned that it wasn't a fad and that that type That's of technology is here to stay.
Right. And now our kids are doing it.
Right, exactly. And I'm teaching it in class now, which is pretty wild. Yeah,
it's so cool.
But then I worked there for 13, 14 years before decided to go to something a little bit more dynamic. I always thought I wanted to be a teacher. I just didn't know. And, you know, changing career when I was in my 30s was a little, I was a little nervous and had some anxiety about that. But I am more than thankful and more than grateful to have had the opportunity here. And I'm really glad I made the switch. I couldn't see myself doing anything else.
Yeah. You said your wife's a teacher in West Seneca?
That's correct. Yeah. So we actually both went back to school at the same time and to get our teaching degrees, and she teaches West Seneca West High School English.
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. I was the principal of West Seneca West Middle.
That's right.
And John McSwan was the principal of West Seneca West Senior. So
turns out
that tells you how old we are.
Yeah. See, and he and I graduated high school together. That's actually a small world.
Yeah. It really is a small world for sure.
Yeah.
So, okay. So you transitioned from engineering to teaching.
Correct.
And you're obviously very happy. I noticed, too, I was just doing a little research. So you've achieved the designation as Master Teacher Emeritus. Congratulations.
Thank you.
It is really a huge achievement. So for teacher leaders listening to this podcast, just give a little background into that program. I believe it's like a four-year program, but maybe share a little bit of background.
Yeah, sure. So the Master Teacher Program is something that New York State got together to allow teachers in STEM, science, technology, engineering, math, to leaders in those fields to apply to get a four-year stipend to work with other area STEM teachers in their area. So all the way across New York State, like we're part of the Western New York one, but I don't know how many there are, but there's, you know, a bunch all the way across the street. And we mainly work in our own cohorts, but we're encouraged to work across the state as well.
Of course.
So the idea was you had to apply for it. There was some certain criteria to get into it. But then once you're in it, it's pretty amazing. And I'm past my 4 years, but I'm still very much involved with it. And it was such a wonderful way to get ideas from people with, you know, like minds, but also across all grade levels and across all disciplines. I learned so much during that time that I think it really, I grew as a teacher for sure. I mean, as a teacher, we should always be looking to grow.
Growth,
right.
For
yeah.
Sure.
And I think it's really molded me into even some parts that I didn't think I was, I don't know. I didn't think I was as much of a leader as I'm finding I might actually have a knack for some of this. I'm not sure. I don't know, but that really helped boost my confidence, and that was really nice.
It is rigorous.
It is.
Right? And I do think we just had two teachers inducted, and they're just starting off on that journey, and they shared with me that it was no joke, right?
Yeah.
They had to pass a test and really apply themselves academically again, and yet they're so excited to be on this journey. And we've had other teachers, too, achieve that status as well. And I know you've been to Grand Island and worked with Carl Kopman.
I have,
and,
yeah. It's wonderful.
You know, all good things. So that's awesome. So I'm just so excited to understand how this grew. How did it begin with respect to building a new course for your high school students to take? And I'm guessing, Scott, you had a little bit of influence in this.
A little bit, yes. It was interesting because our partners at Erie One Boces were looking for a place to do rocket drone demos.
Okay.
And our director of educational technology came to me and said, hey, are you willing to host?
Yeah, love it.
I'm like, sure, check with Karen at the high school. We need the gym. Let the AD know the gym's off limits that day. Let's host.
Yeah.
And although, you know, we didn't have a great turnout.
Right. It was a couple years ago?
Last year.
Oh, right, my goodness. Last year, right around this time. Quickly. Okay.
Really quick.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, let's do this. And I went down there, and like I was stating a little earlier, my eyes lit up. I had a smile from ear to ear.
Right.
And they were doing this demonstration with the rocket drones, and they had the gates, so they call them, where they're flying the drones through it, a racetrack.
Yeah.
They had the glasses, the VR goggles down there.
So and, kids could do that too.
Right. And nice. It was exciting. And there were some kids there participating.
Yeah.
And there I was, the 48-year-old adult, be like, when's it my turn? Right, when's it my turn?
Right.
I was down there with the director of HR, Mr. Fatt. I'm like, let's race. I bet you I can beat you. But to be honest, and this is what I was talking about earlier with my educational career, I don't remember having anything that made me do that.
Right.
Even as a kid.
A lot of book and...
Yeah, you know, like, make sure you study this. And I was like, we really got to do this. And Mr. Scott Nicky was down there for the presentation.
Yeah, perfect.
And I was like, we got to get these. He's like, you get them. I'll make it happen. And I'm like, you sure? He's like, 100%.
Nice.
I said, well, there's one thing I can do in this position is
right.
guarantee what we're going to buy. So I'm telling you right now, going to buy them.
Love it.
Spoke to Karen about getting these rocket drones as a possible course, a club. Let's just get started somewhere. The two of them took the bull by the horns, and right off the bat, we got a half year class that we offer both semesters. We have a club. They raced against someone from another state.
Okay.
And they're doing a lot of great things. So
yeah, maybe we could collaborate too, right? If you're doing some informal, club work or, with Grand Island, we have a drone course, and I could see racing or something like that. It'd be super fun.
Without a doubt. If we connect, and I'm going to assume your teacher is just like Mr. Scott Nicky.
Oh my gosh.
If we connect the right people, I think great things can happen. And that's, again, providing the opportunity. And this podcast can be just that, because we're also going to do a demo here for all. I'm inviting all superintendents on May 29th to come here. And we're going to do, Stan's going to do a little mini presentation, but you're really going to see the drones in action.
Yeah.
And I'm really hoping my take on that is, there's a little plug to show off Cheektowaga a little bit.
Course.
But more importantly, that some others can see the opportunity that it can provide students in the world of STEM.
Yeah, love it so much. So Karen, your superintendent gets excited and walks over to you and, hey, let's do this. Were you super excited as well?
I was. I was in there as well. And like you said, everybody was acting like kids just watching the drones fly around. So the fact that he said, make it happen and he'd find the money made it easy for us. Asked Stan just to find all the standards and write it up and take the elective request to our director of learning and to our board of education to get approval.
Right.
And then we got it, and then we had to get kids interested in signing up. Which
I was going to ask that. So did your counselors help promote it with the students? Like, how did you get that excitement?
Yeah. So we had some slides up on what the course was about. And then the counselors did help as well, but students went down asking to take this course.
Nice. I love that. So, you and Scott, you and the director of learning, you all work together to carve this out as an elective. So, would this be the inaugural year, the first year?
It is.
So, can you share a little bit about the student interest? Roughly speaking, how many kids are in the course and things of that nature?
So, for the first half of the year, we had about 15 kids in the course.
Okay, exciting.
And then the second half of the year, I think we have about the same number.
Okay,
but
perfect.
For our course request for next year, we're getting a little worried because the numbers have exploded and we only have one teacher for this course.
Oh my gosh, that is so great.
But the second half of the year, we did get it approved to do a pilot club program. So
okay.
Stan so that's has through the students board after of school.
And they're going to allow some after-school opportunities. And that's going to help in case, because you can only have so many kids in the class, right?
Right.
So that'll give them an opportunity to explore and be part of that club. So from your perspective, are you looking ahead now in the next couple of years for other STEM opportunities that could complement this rocket drone course?
So we've already talked a little bit about possibly having a part two where Excellent. It's only a half year course,
right.
but you need to be in this to get to part two.
Right.
Expanding right. that as well as our, Mr. Skotnicki runs at the engineering, design, and construction. We had to go to a part two because of all the student interest.
Course.
Yeah.
Before we talk a little bit more with Stan, there are some new careers that are being envisioned and enacted upon across the United States with drones, right? I'm sure this is an exciting opportunity for young people to see that Cheektowaga is ahead of the curve and offering a course like this, but also it could lead to a really amazing career that maybe they never imagined before. Is that kind of, am I on the right page with that?
Yes, absolutely. You hear about it, how the police or the fire companies are using this to help with their situations, as well as the shortage on the flight tower people at the airports.
Oh, right. That's true.
So it's
Amazon.
Right.
Amazon's been talking about this for a while. So before we talk to Stan, is there anything else you wanted to highlight with respect to the course or the excitement that's being generated with respect to future course requests?
So I think it's amazing that this occurred last May and that we got the course going in September.
And really, truly it's remarkable.
We're not even a full year into it, and so we're still growing. And
I do really appreciate that from my perspective, too, because that is, you know, sometimes the superintendent comes up with an idea, and they're like, let's go, and you got it done. It really is a testament to your leadership, too, so congratulations on that. Excellent. So, Stan, let's do a little bit more conversation around careers and drone, right? I have a hunch that you might have some ideas that maybe common listeners to the podcast may not have even thought of in with respect to the future of this technology.
Yeah, sure. It's funny. It's perfect timing, actually. My students in our second semester of this course right now, we just got finished up with a project called Applications of Drones in the Workplace. So they're presenting this week in our class. They had to choose. They had to do a little research and choose, find somewhere that drones are being used that you may not even have thought of before. And the list was massive. And it wasn't a list that I generated, but
right.
they went
their
through their
research.
And everybody has a different topic, you know from agriculture to film and media. Today someone did drones in archaeology. It's insane. And like Ms. Iganis mentioned, although the police force uses them, fire departments, search and rescue, it really is pretty amazing. And it's eye-opening to a lot of the students to see like where these can be actually be used, and that they're getting some of the basic skills now to potentially look into these for future employment as
right.
well.
And even before some of the new concepts that I think you're introducing to the students are researching themselves,
mm-hmm.
even before that, I think it's already exploding, starting now to the future. But even before that, mm-hmm. any one of your students who wanted to just get their pilot license, mm-hmm. they're setting themselves up for an incredible career and a high-paying career. You know, that's my understanding.
Absolutely, yeah. So to be a commercial drone pilot, you need something called the FAA 107 license,
right.
which is a drone pilot license, which I'm going for myself
yeah.
right now, actually.
I think Sean Sweet has that.
He does, yeah. Over at Grand Island.
Right,
yeah, he
right.
does. So does Carl Kottman, actually.
He does, too?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, good.
So I got to follow suit, you know.
Yeah, you got to keep up, man.
So our class will not... They will not get their FAA 107 at the end.
Right.
However,
they could,
and that's where this goes. Like
right.
throughout the entire semester, like our curriculum is based to kind of teach them the history of drones. What is a drone? You know,
mm-hmm.
how they're used. They're unmanned or uncrewed autonomous vehicles.
Right.
So like water drones, ground based drones, air drones, space drones. Like
yeah.
it's insane. Like I myself have been learning a lot. And then, like, they didn't realize, like, how much farther, like, you can go with this stuff. Then we look at the anatomy of drones. We look at how they work, the science behind them, the physics behind it.
Right.
And then we're at the point where we're looking at drones in the workplace. But then, so to finalize our semester, we really have been focused on, like, where you are in the airspace. And right where we are, I mean, we're in this place where we're really close to the Buffalo Airport.
Right.
And there's a lot of restrictions on flying drones in our area,
especially
right where we are.
Like, yeah.
The landing area goes right over our school. So we really couldn't even fly outside without them being turned off, basically, by our local air traffic towers.
Wow.
So yeah, it's pretty
even
cool.
Inside.
Well, inside's fine.
Okay. Okay.
Outside.
All right.
Yeah, outside.
I misunderstood.
Yeah. So our students are learning all about the different regulations. They're learning about, like, where you can fly them, where you can't fly them, and we're setting them up to, by the end of the semester, every one of them will take their trust certificate. And the trust certificate is simply that, in the sense of they're trying to, or they're going to. It's like a stepping stone to get their FAA 107 license.
Okay.
So if they're
yeah,
they'll do well on it. And then if they want to go further, like,
yep,
we can help them out. Rocket Drones even has on their own website a special course on top
very good.
Of it. Yeah.
Love it.
So that they can pursue themselves. It's not something like we offer yet.
Yeah. No, but
but you never know. Like, I'm just saying, like, this is something that they could go to on their own after. And that we're pitching them to the point where we're giving them an opportunity that this is could potentially be somewhere you can go for employment.
Yeah.
And I think it's a really cool opportunity we're giving them.
It really is. Yeah. And of course there's military applications,
yeah,
right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's an endless, there are an endless amount of opportunities, whether mm-hmm. you're building them, you're fixing them,
yeah,
you're flying them, or you're analyzing the data. Earlier you said that the drones can be used in agriculture, right?
Yeah.
If they have special sensors, mm-hmm. I don't know if you are able to elaborate on that, but it's pretty remarkable mm-hmm. what this drone technology can do for farmers.
Yeah,
right.
So I can't speak too much on the farming, but I can tell you one place that I myself used them.
Okay.
About 7 years ago, I was lucky enough to be part of a grant through Polar Trek, where they linked.
I did see that.
Yeah. So they linked science teachers with scientists to help them do their field research.
Right.
And I spent 3 months in Siberia doing climate change study with Dr. Lorenzi.
Did Mrs. Skatnicki go with you too?
No. I went by myself, and that was pretty far away.
Yeah.
It was tough, but it was really good.
Yeah.
So I went with a guy from Colgate University and got linked onto his research. And in the tundra there, we were actually looking at, like, vegetation growth and how it was affecting climate change and the permafrost depths there.
Right.
And we used drones. And that was actually one of my first experiences with them.
Right.
And we had some undergraduate students that were with us, and they were coding them to – they had infrared cameras on them, and they had like just Landsat cameras on them. Right. So they would – like grid line
pattern,
autonomously and come back and land,
give you that data,
and then they would take that data and they would make maps out of this.
Right.
And I thought, man, this is insane. And what a really cool use of them at that point. And this is well before we even had this in our sights. So
think about all the different careers you just really touched on just with that one story.
Right.
Right. It is remarkable. And I'm so proud of Cheektowaga for being one of the leaders in this. I think it's fantastic. So we didn't talk about drones and in the inner cities, in big metropolises.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that Uber is exploring the concept of drones building hopping. Instead of taking the subway, you go into a skyscraper, you go to the roof, and you get into an Uber drone, and then it takes you somewhere else in that city. Have any of the kids touched on that in their presentations?
They actually have.
Yeah.
Like it's funny that you say that. Yeah. Yes, I have a student right now that was actually looking into that, and they have some videos, which I'm learning things. And yeah, it's just that they'll put either a single person drone.
Right.
I don't think anything's regulated yet.
No.
But it'll automatically put your destination because you have no control on it. So it's completely autonomous.
Right.
In the sense that you get in it, it knows with your app or whatever you want to go, it'll take you to that spot. And
this
exactly
is,
like you're saying.
It's conceptual.
Mm-hmm.
but it's really a few years away. I think it is.
And then think
about this other mm-hmm. avenue of air traffic control, mm-hmm. right? Because I think there's going to be a whole other field of air traffic control mm-hmm. specialists who mm-hmm. are going to be able to, you know, because if Amazon's dropping right. off a package, right. if Uber's flying around,
yeah.
like there's going to have to be an incredible amount of regulation for safety. But I do think, you know, this is the Jetsons, right? I think this is happening, and it's happening quick. Mm-hmm. You know, one other thing when you talked about that that presentation by one of your students, you know, talking about this kind of Uber drone flight. I don't know if you've seen Waymo, W-A-Y-M-O.
I don't think
so. Get a chance, if you could Google it or YouTube it.
Okay.
Right now in San Francisco, Phoenix, and in Los Angeles, Waymo is another competitor to Uber and Lyft,
mm-hmm.
and they use SUVs that are autonomous, that are driving on their own. So what you just described, mm-hmm. right, getting into this drone that's going to fly you somewhere without a pilot, mm-hmm. right? These cars, these Waymo cars, are operating, you know, a business right now in three major cities, and they arrive without a driver. You get in the back seat. You know, it already knows because of the app where you want to go. It takes you off, and there's a 5-minute video. If you get a chance, check it out.
I will,
because it'll link very nicely to that student's presentation, but also the future of driving around in cars, right? So I think what you're doing is fantastic. With that said, what else? What else is happening? What is the future of your coursework? Or, you know, I heard off mic that you may be using 3D printers to create some nice accessories for this course.
Yeah, I think we're always looking to see where we can go next with this. And we, like we've mentioned before, we have a coding class and we have a computer science class. And I would love to link with them and like kind of do some cross-curricular work in that sense, that we can use like Adafruits and different circuit boards to create a module that we can create our own drones in the end, mm-hmm. right? With our 3D printers, which we've been using in our other STEM elective, like our engineering design course, we've already started to design some drone bases, so we can use those,
nice.
and then put our own,
and you
our
can
own
print rotors. Them.
We can print them. Right.
Did you try to print one yet?
We printed one shell already,
okay.
And it was it's in the work still, but like it's going to work.
Right.
Like there's
right.
no question. Like I think
I
think it's just a matter of like some fine tuning and getting the right heads on this, and I think we can make this happen.
What about parts for the drones? Maybe a propeller brakes or something like that. Is that something a 3D printer could do?
The propellers themselves, they definitely can make.
Wow.
And then a lot of the parts, like some of the parts are pretty simple. Like the circuit boards are ones that you can get up pretty cheap.
Yeah.
And any Arduino type board and stuff like that are very simple. They're pretty small. They can't print those, but the shell of the body itself can kind of be expensive to buy anyway.
Yeah.
So that alone right there
is
getting it. And then, you know, a student can put their own kind of design on it. I think that's kind of neat.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, Scott, maybe you could help wind this down for us. You know, superintendents have the ability to inspire and influence many things in the district, and it's so fun for me to hear that you hosted, you got excited, you started racing, you started doing all this thing, and now in a short period of time, you've built, you know, you and your team have built something really fantastic for your students.
Yes. I guess my suggestion, and I'm new at this, and there's a lot of veteran superintendents that already know this, but don't handcuff your people.
Right.
The power of numbers, the knowledge that these teachers have is way more than I have.
Of course.
I'm here for leadership,
yep.
And they are the masters of the knowledge. They hold all the power.
Okay.
So just unleashing them to do their thing. Like Stan had said, well, one thing Stan didn't mention I think is critically important to any leader that's listening and thinking about drones. You know, when you think about STEM, I feel, you know, generally the community thinks about higher-end students.
Okay, yeah.
And that's not necessarily true. Well, it's not true.
Right.
And just looking at his drone program, I could – my analogy would be a NASCAR team.
Right.
Because everyone knows about NASCAR.
Yep.
Well, as Stan is working in an elective that students can take or a club, there's something for every student to do.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter about your ability of where you are on this scale of high to low. It's there's something for everyone. And you just talked about the 3D printing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's something that a student is working with, or designing the propeller for the 3D printer. Or what about just the pit crew when the drone crashes yeah. and you have to change a propeller?
Sure.
Because,
yeah.
listen, I said I was like a kid, ear to ear. I got that controller in my hand. I didn't have the talent, the hand-eye coordination, or the dexterity to control that drone going as fast as it was going.
Yeah.
But there's kids that are really, really
sure.
good at it.
Yeah.
But someone like me, there's a job somewhere in that world of drones that Mr. Scott Nicky's running. So I think it's important that people know there's a lot for everyone and every level of student can participate.
Yeah.
So, again, providing opportunity and letting the masters
yeah.
run with it.
Let them cook. I love it. Well, I appreciate this opportunity. It is super exciting to see the great work that's happening here in Cheektowaga. Great leadership, great teachers, and as you said, providing equity and inclusion, and this is for everybody, is a great message, and I love that.
Yeah, I just want to add one more thing, if I
yeah,
could.
For sure.
The connection with BOCES, you know, our STEM starts in our elementary school.
Right.
B-Bots, Ozobots,
that's right.
The Lego
Spheros.
Kits.
Yeah.
And, you know, even and then at the high school level, all the way up with drones. I mean, everything's aidable.
Yeah.
You work with BOCES, you get
that's
support.
Right. That's right.
So we have, you know, K through four, we have a ton of STEM going on.
Yeah.
And, you know, in our middle school, I know we have STEM Girls Club.
And
that they actually get the girls together
yeah.
to promote these
right.
STEM professions or STEM activities for the females. And then obviously you heard all about the great things the high school is doing. So having these opportunities for everyone is amazing. And for me, talk about bringing joy to sit back
yeah.
and watch. I'm going to end with this. I didn't tell Mr. Scott Nicky this, but one day he came up to me just passing in the hall and said, "Hey, I just really want to thank you because I really enjoy what I'm doing."
Yeah,
and
so
it wasn't,
great.
"Hey, there's a superintendent. I gotta,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I got to get on his good
he
side."
Has tenure, so.
Yeah, he has tenure. He's well respected. It was
right.
pure, and I could see the excitement on his face.
Right.
I walked back to my office and I was like,
"Yeah,
today's a good
made
day.
My day.
Someone got an opportunity is enjoying what they're doing." So
love it.
And that just then spills down to our kids, which
right.
is what we're all about.
I'm glad you mentioned BOCES and the rocket drone systems that they help school districts purchase, because you get state aid back on it, like you said, and makes it affordable. And it's great that BOCES can support that kind of activity too, which is really great. All right, Scott, nice job. For our listeners, don't forget you can find Achieving Joy and Mastery in Public Schools on your favorite podcast platform. That's Apple, Spotify, Odyssey, and Amazon. So we're all out there on those podcast platforms. So once again, make sure you follow or subscribe, and thank you so much for tuning in this week. Thank you for joining us today as we explore the concept of achieving joy and mastery in public schools. We will be interviewing school districts in Erie and Niagara counties on a regular basis as we look to shine a spotlight on all of the amazing programs and practices essential for achieving joy and mastery with our students, faculty, staff, and community. This podcast is sponsored by the Erie Niagara School Superintendents Association, and we hope you consider subscribing.